Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. We're going to be talking about a very serious issue. It still involves this elongated, never-ending, what I pray is ultimately successful in the election process. No longer do we seem to have an election day. November with one day is not the election day. It seems as though it's election months. Where in several of the states we have today during election times, we have anywhere from 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks advance elections. Then we have the mail-in voting, the harvest balloting being carried on, and then the elongation after the election to try to ascertain who the real winner is. There's some places, some counties in New York State where they're still counting ballots to determine some of the down-ballot elections for this election cycle. But we're going to be talking about today the media silence on the election suits. Multitudes listening today and multitudes out in the nation today do not even realize there are a major number of lawsuits that are being filed across America, and particularly in the battleground states, but in general in several of the states to try to determine who the real winner is. Of course, Joe Biden says that he is. Sleepy Joe, Basement Joe, stands before a large sign, generally speaking, that says the office of the president-elect, with a president-elect seal there. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as the office of the president-elect. There's no such thing as an official seal for the office of president-elect. Joe Biden is not president-elect. Joe Biden happens to be one of the contenders in the election that's still awaiting the outcome, just as President Donald J. Trump is awaiting the outcome of this election. So as we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to do so based on truth. It's the truth book, the B-I-B-L-E, as the old song that was very popular back eras ago with children in Sunday school singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And that's the book that we need to depend on, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Bible. It is the truth book. Jesus talked about in John 8, 31 and 32, where he says to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in John 14, 6, where Jesus himself said, "I am truth." And then he went further by stating in John 17, 17, when he says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to depend on and understand that the only way we can know truth is going to the Bible, the book of truth. It is what we need to understand and recognize is the source book for all that we do and say. In the society today in which we're living in, multitudes reject the truth and do not believe the truth. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." It is the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to depend on. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the modus operandi in our lives. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the mandate in what we say and do. We need to recognize it, ladies and gentlemen, that truth still is valuable, viable, and must be used in our society. In fact, it was Orwell that made the statement, as I said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it." And that's exactly what we're finding taking place in our society today, is hating those that speak the truth. This is the reason it's so vital for us to stick to and understand the truth book. It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian that made the statement, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's what we ought to do today, ladies and gentlemen, is seek the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and recognize that the further we get into this world prior to the rapture of the church, we're going to find more and more Christians that are being persecuted and prosecuted simply because we stand on the truth of the Word of God. We need to realize that it is vital for us to stick to the truth and tell the truth and defend the truth and not be prone to deviate from the truth. I find it antithetical to anything that would be called integrity that we find so many today as professing Christians that will deviate from the truth in order to make a point or in order to win an argument or debate in relationship to things in our lives, especially as we're finding today with this battle over the election as to whether or not Joe Biden is the real winner or it's President Donald J. Trump. I'm looking at Proverbs 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people will rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's where we are finding ourselves today in the world, especially in the United States of America. We need to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that this battle is not over. The victory is still to be won. The election is still to be determined. We need to place our faith and trust in God. We need to continue to pray and seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves and confess our sins, and allow God to heal our land. He's the only one that can do it, ladies and gentlemen. We can't. In fact, in Psalms 146 and verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no hope. If we place our faith and trust in man, we'll always be disappointed. If we place our faith and trust in man, there'll always be a declension and deception shall set in. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to depend on the Word of God. We need to stand on truth. We need to recognize in the era in which we're living, and the dangers and the difficulties and the deception that is taking place, that the Bible is very, very clear in the Scripture that perilous times shall come. And that's the day in which we're living. The word perilous means, ladies and gentlemen, dangerous, dark, difficult, devastating, destructive. And that's exactly what we see taking place in our nation today. In particular, when we see the Black Lives Matter, the BLM, socialist, Marxist, Maoist, dictator-led thugs, and what they're wanting to do. They're the Joe Biden and the Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, gang out in the streets to carry out the plan of disruption and hysteria and fear in America in order to allow the deception in this vote and this election to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power equipment, landscape, lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time carries the full line of backup equipment for the hurricane season. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. You can find that. There's a benchmark there. It's a gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find the U.S. flag. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I pray that during this Thanksgiving season, you've had an opportunity to be with your family, to have a good fellowship meal with them, an opportunity to talk about family and family affairs and things that perhaps you have not been able to catch up on since last Thanksgiving or Christmas season. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I did not limit the number in our home. Hear me? I didn't limit the number of folks in our home. All of our family were there. Most of our family members, most of our grandkids were present. We didn't limit the number of family members in the home. We did not eat outside as CDC and what's his name? The one that wears the white jacket that has all the answers, Anthony Fauci, I believe that's who they call him. We didn't follow Anthony Fauci's directives and the CDC's directives. We did not wear masks. In fact, I don't know if you recall that or not, but for several weeks before Thanksgiving, the rules were totally modified, changed, and the realm of what we ought to do and can do for Christmas and for Thanksgiving and how we ought to carry out our lives. I find it antithetical, ladies and gentlemen, to anything that's called we the people, American lives. In fact, according to the Bible in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, and it's speaking of that Antichrist when he steps on the scene, he'll want to change holy days, holidays, and modify the calendar, etc. The scripture says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until the time and the time and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years, ladies and gentlemen. The Antichrist, when he steps on the scene, that's after the rapture of the church, there'll be 7 years of tribulation where the Antichrist will be the dictatorship and the ruler of this old world, and he will change, modifying the calendar, changing the holy days and the holidays. And I'm not saying that's what's happening now, but I am telling you that the stage is being set. The scene is being set. The players are being put on the stage, and the future carrying out of what this world will be like after the rapture of the church. And I want you to understand, if you're saved, if you're blood-bought, Bible say, born again, you and I won't be here in this old world when that takes place. But I'm just simply saying that in the celebration of our Thanksgiving season, we didn't limit our Thanksgiving guest in the home. We didn't wear a mask. We didn't limit it to a two-hour period of time. And all of these things, ladies and gentlemen, what the socialist Marxist recommendations were by Dr. Fauci and the CDC and the World Health Organization and Dr. Tedros and others. And yet there is somehow, some way, a feeling that if you don't comply, if you don't put on your mask, if you don't put a zipper on that mask so you can insert a straw or a spoon so that you can eat at the table, as Gavin Newsom and the governor of California says, that there's something wrong with you. Let me just simply say this, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the depth of the broadcast today and the subject in relationship to the suits that are taking place across America in the battleground states, and what is happening in relationship to this election process and the dangers if we're not careful, with the end result being that which is illegitimate in this race. But I want us to realize that across the nation, there is the push to wear the mask, the push to submit and surrender our Bill of Rights to a socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Democratic Party and their agenda for America. And with that being said, those that decide we're not going to wear a mask, we're not going to be forced to bow and bend, we're not going to be forced to comply with an order that's not been proven to have any efficacious benefit for our health, but yet at the same time, I find it a little sad when you do, as I found the other day. I was happened to be in a medical building, medical center building, and I pushed the button to get on the elevator, and as the elevator door opened, there was a young lady standing in there. She was fully expecting, and she was standing over next to the little push buttons to open the door, and she saw me, and she rushed and squeezed against the door to make sure she didn't come near me. She wanted to have that social distancing, I assume, and she rushed across the hallway and said, I'll just take the stairs, and pitter-pattered down the stairs, and by the time my elevator got from the third floor to the first floor, she was popping out of the stairwell door and rushed again to make sure she didn't intersect with me, and rushed down the hallway, headed over to the parking garage in that complex to make sure she didn't get close to me. There seemed to be a total panic, a total fear, because here's a maskless man that is in the elevator or near her, and that's what we're doing today in America. We're causing a total fear, a total panic, a total hysteria, because of the churning of information that for the most part is an absolute fabrication to set the stage to make Americans be in a state of fear and shock and panic and hysteria. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, that causes the socialist, Marxist, Maoist, communist dictator rulers in our nation, gives them an upper hand in controlling we the people. So we need to understand that during this election cycle, that there's more at stake than just the leadership role of President Donald J. Trump. There's more at stake than just who becomes the president January the 20th of 2021, who's sworn in, although that is important. The most important thing is to recognize that the Biden administration has promised that if they go into office, there will be an absolute transformation of America. I'm looking at a headline article here. It says Biden's Obama-esque promise to transform America. When Joe Biden boasted that he was going to beat President Trump, he assured all of us, quote, "And when we do, we won't be just rebuild this nation. We will totally transform America," end quote. For article further says the question that went unmasked is exactly what he proposed to transform America into. Transforming America into a communist nation of industrialized baby killing, grotesque sexual perversion, the elimination of our First and Second Amendment rights by eat it, et cetera, is what Obama meant when he promised to transform America. Obama issued edicts that required grown men and boys to be granted unrestricted access to women's bathrooms, showers, changing rooms, dressing rooms. He invoked God's name in claiming Planned Parenthood did good work. Mine was one of the voices that publicly condemned Obama for praising Planned Parenthood, industrialization of murdering children, specifically black children. Biden is no less anti-Second Amendment than Obama, and combined with Kamala Harris, who boasts of whoring her way to Washington by sleeping with married political connected men, would immediately move toward the removal of our Second Amendment rights. And the article goes on about 5 or 6 pages in length, talking about what Biden is planning to do with America. And ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that's standing in the way of Joe Biden doing that is that little thing that's called the election process, that little thing that's called the Electoral College votes, that little issue that's called winning an election, not by fraud, not by deceit, not by cheat, not by lying, not by stealing, as the Democratic Party boasted before the election, that this is a revolution, and we're going to lie, cheat, or steal whatever it takes to win this election. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what they've done. That's precisely the modus operandi that they put into place to try to win this election by lie, cheating, and stealing. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's my deep concern that if President Donald J. Trump is not victorious in this re-election, America will become a total socialist dictator-controlled nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to add this very quickly. We need to recognize that and I'll talk about this further in this broadcast, the election is not over. The election is not over until a victor has been declared by the Electoral College votes. But I am petrified to think about what America would be like if Joe Biden becomes our next president. And yet somehow, some way, he feels that he already is on the fast track for that. But I believe the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Communist Party, I believe they are petrified behind closed doors as to what they see taking place with the suits that are happening, especially in 5 of the Rust Belt states and the battleground states, as it is called, in relationship to who won the election and what was taking place. A whole battery of attorneys, we're going to talk about that in a moment, are engaged and fully involved with the absolute ability and the qualifications to get to the bottom of the lie, cheating, and stealing in this election. But ladies and gentlemen, America will become a total socialist dictatorship-controlled nation. President Trump just responded. I don't know if you heard the news this morning. I believe it was in a question and answer last evening. And I heard it on the 6:30 news this morning on television. President Trump just responded to a media question of his, quote, willingness to leave the White House if Biden wins this election. And President Trump was sitting at a table, looked like probably in the Oval Office. It wasn't his desk, but a table, and flags behind him, etc. And he responded very gently, I think. He was not the normal bombastic Trump, as he would take a stand on an issue. But he was asked the question, would you be willing to voluntarily leave the White House if Joe Biden wins the election? And President Trump responded, what the response was, quote, certainly, I will be willing to leave the White House if I lose the election. But he says there's a long way to go in this election, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a long way to go in this election. Don't you dare be defeated. Don't you dare think that somehow, some way, we've lost the battle. Don't you dare just give up and stop. We need to keep praying, keep on looking up, keep on asking God to give us the victory by a divine intervention, just as he did in 2016. In 2016, November 2016, I believe it was God's divine intervention that gave us President Donald J. Trump for these 4 years. I believe that divine intervention gave us an extension of 4 years before the total judgment of God is poured out upon a nation that said no to Christ, that says no to the Bible, no to prayer, no to anything that's spiritual in our nation. And that's primarily coming out of the hands and the hearts and the minds, the lips and the movements of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Democratic Party. They hate anything that's called God. God was not mentioned in their any of their platforms and their speeches and their convention, but yet the converse of that was the grand old party, the GOP, the Republican Party. Every speaker that spoke at the convention said something about God, praising God, thanking God, and asking God to bless America. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump was talking about the legal challenges that's taking place in relationship to this election. I am looking at an article here that says a huge trove of Pennsylvania mail-in ballot applications sent by the Trump campaign to individual voters found destroyed in the United States Postal Service trailers. This article further says then a huge trove of Pennsylvania mail-in ballot applications sent by the Trump campaign to individual voters were destroyed by the U.S. Post Office. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read you 1,000 articles on the subject of what took place leading up to the election and the actual voting and the casting of ballots. I'm saddened to say to you, I am saddened to say that we have watched, we have been the witnesses of one of the greatest frauds perpetrated upon Americans in the history of the United States of America, and I call it treason. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there needs to be a coming bringing to justice of all of those that took part in this with the fraudulent ballot harvesting, with the fraudulent ballot casting, with the deceit and the machines that were used. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast in relationship to what has happened. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget further, if you want to call in, that number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call is invited. Love to hear from you. What are your thoughts in relationship to this contested race? Do you believe that President Trump will ultimately be victorious? Do you believe that Joe Biden will be the victor? What do you think took place? What are your understandings of this election? Should we simply sit back in defeat? Should we continue to pray and seek God? Should we just simply wring our hands in fright and fear and hysteria? Or should we look to God and praise Him for what He's going to do in this ultimate victory for President Donald J. Trump? I'm looking at an article. It says the reason Democrats are pushing for mail-in ballots, this was prior to the election, but this builds up the case for where we want to go in the final portion of this broadcast today. Mail-in ballots are the latest talking points for the Democrats and their media allies. They claim this will keep voters safe from the Wuhan virus, even though it is burning itself out quite nicely on its own. The compassionate Democrats say it is too dangerous to wait in line, yet it was fine for hundreds to wait in line for John Lewis's funeral procession. Hypocrisy is on full display when it comes to the Chinese coronavirus. The all-knowing, all-caring Dr. Anthony Fauci donned a large mask while standing all alone on the pitcher's mound waiting to launch his ill-fated pitch close to the dugout from the home plate. Yet in the bleachers, they were yucking it up with some pals, forgetting all about their mask and social distancing, et cetera, et cetera. You're familiar with that event. It is where those like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, which, by the way, both of them are on the payroll of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the pharmaceutical houses that are now pushing to be number one for the vaccine come out of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation support groups and are controlled totally by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that is a very interesting facet, in fact, all alone, because they're the ones that's pushing to have their vaccine recognized as being number one. Ladies and gentlemen, the major question stands that should be asked and demands to be answered for each and every one of us today is what's taking place with the legal challenges? President Trump, when he made that statement, was talking that it's been a long way from being over. He was referring to the legal challenges that are now taking place in many of the states across the nation. For example, Georgia, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, et cetera, where courts are now ordering votes to be recounted, where the legal challenges regarding the voter fraud, voter machines, the flipping of votes from Trump to Biden, where hundreds upon hundreds, thousands, and yea, as one researcher said, perhaps millions of votes were found on thumb drives appearing overnight during the election process. Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Gina Ellis, Lynn Wood, and others that are on the teams of attorneys searching for answers and trying to get to the root of the problem with this election. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm prayerful that they will be victorious in doing so. I'm prayerful that God will give victory in the final days leading up to this election and following the actual casting of ballots. In some of the states over in Alabama, some were paying up to $6. They'd gone into churches, ladies and gentlemen, and they were paying churches up to $6 per ballot that they would help people to cast the ballots and get the votes in. $6 each, that's voter buying. But yet that was taking place. Ilhan Omar and her ilk were paying up to $200 per vote in Minnesota. It is something, ladies and gentlemen, that I am prayerful that you'll not give up. I'm prayerful that God will ultimately give us the victory in this, because I have found, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes that have joined the Never Trumpers team, some of our so-called political Republican leaders, have said to Trump, why don't you just concede? Chris Christie just recently said Trump needs to get off the golf course and just concede this election. Well, Chris Christie didn't have it in him. He was part of the team that was in the primaries trying to beat Trump for the nominee. Chris Christie had never been satisfied that he was not the candidate that was on the ticket for running for president. But nevertheless, Chris Christie and others that hate Trump, that are either antithetical to the Trump team or the Never Trumpers, continue to wail and cry that Trump needs to concede. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that is the case at all. I believe President Trump is on the elongated track. And I've said now for weeks and weeks and weeks, if this can go, if this fraudulent election can go to the U.S. Supreme Court, President Donald J. Trump will be sworn in as the new president, next president. If it does not make it to the Supreme Court, Joe Biden will be the winner of this election. Here's an article. It said the fraud was executed by many means. Sidney Powell releases cracking with dual lawsuits in Michigan and Georgia. And we're going to talk about that, ladies and gentlemen, right after the top of the hour break in just a moment. This article says, Sidney Powell has finally released the cracking, filing two lawsuits in Michigan and Georgia late Wednesday, alleging massive schemes to rig the election for Joe Biden. In Georgia, Powell claims in a 104-page complaint, ladies and gentlemen, I've not printed the 104 pages out, but I've scanned the 104 pages. I've looked at probably 20, 30 of them in depth. It says a 104-page complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Atlanta that proposes that the purpose, this article says, that the purpose of the scheme was it was illegally and fraudulently manipulating the vote count to make certain the election of Joe Biden as president of the United States of America. Quote, I'm quoting you now from this article. I'm not going to read the entire article. It's about a five-page article. But I want to set the stage of where we're going after our news break. Says old-fashioned ballot stuffing has been amplified and rendered virtually invisible by computer software created and run by domestic and foreign actors for that very purpose. The suit continues, adding that mathematical and statistical anomalies raise the level of impossibility as shown by affidavits of multiple witnesses, documentation, and expert testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take top of the hour newspaper. 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news as we continue to talk about today the media silence on the election suits.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.